Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, pull up a chair and tuck your napkin into your collar. It's the Off-Menu podcast.
Oh, good to hear your voice again, Ed. Everyone's missed it.
Oh, it's been nice to have a little break, hasn't it? But lovely to come back and see you, James.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we can't not eat forever. I don't eat in between series.
Oh, that's not so healthy.
Well, I've decided that's what I'm going to do. Keeps me wanting.
I eat only the meals from the podcast of series one.
Oh, right. How's that been?
Oh, I'm very, very fat now.
You must be.
Because I've just been eating three-course meals every day.
Drinking 27 cans of Stella at night.
Yeah. Carriage really fucked me over.
Carriage.
I'm drinking so many Stellas. I'm drinking so many Stellas. Did you hear that?
Yeah, because you're hammered. You can't.
I'm absolutely blasted, mate.
You can't be expected to learn how to speak.
I'm drinking so many Stellas. But it's series two now, James.
We added another menu to your diet, won't we?
Finally.
Today. Someone will... And who? Who?
The person adding variety to my diet today is the wonderful Dara O'Brien.
Uh-oh.
Mock the week's Dara O'Brien.
More like mock the food.
Is that good? Is that a good pun?
Yeah, I think so.
Don't look at Benito. He doesn't know.
Well, it's got double vowels in it.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I don't think it mock the food doesn't work.
Consonant, vowel, vowel, consonant. That's how it works, and then that's a good pun.
I don't think it's based on that.
What
are you thinking of? Countdown.
Eat the food.
Eat the food is a pun on mock the week.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll take it. Dara O'Brien from mock the week. More like
eat the food. More like.
Okay, but you shouldn't have said more like again.
Huh?
Because I said more like.
But that was a double pun. Because it's the same. It's a pun on more like.
Right, well, it's lovely to be back. Dara was a great guest. Our secret ingredient, if Dara says he will get kicked out of the restaurant, is what, James?
Cottage cheese!
James always says cottage cheese like that.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason he doesn't order it, because he has to say it like that, and he's been thrown out of many a cafe.
But the main thing that we want to hear from Dara, we do not want to hear cottage cheese, but we do want to hear what his favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, drink and side dish are.
That's what we
want to hear, and it better not contain cottage cheese.
I don't think it's going to contain cottage cheese. Cottage cheese is disgusting. Mm. It's like a little baby's been sick.
Oh, I absolutely hate it. It's just like mainly water.
Yeah.
And then like, just looks like, ugh. Just looks like it's kind of rolled off someone's body. Do you know what I mean?
Not really, but it's a nice insight into how your brain
it's like
works.
Like someone's a human being's melted or something, and it's rolled off of them.
Well, hopefully, Dara will not mention a melted human being in his lovely meal.
You better not.
We've been sent some nice stuff from Drinks Biscuits.
Oh yeah. What? Oh, hold on, Ed. What? My brain can't make sense of that. What am I meant to drink? The biscuits?
They're little biscuits, but they go with drinks, James.
Oh,
you can have one with a gin and tonic, like one with a little wine or something. But that was very nice, thank you. And also, we compared them with some lovely wines that we've been sent from Laithwaite's Wines.
Ah, oh, the world is really, it's sorting us out. We don't have to even think about what we eat anymore.
Mate, I'm absolutely loving this. Keep it coming, I say.
Keep it, hey, we're encouraging it 100%.
But for now, this is the off menu of Dara O'Brien. You get the fly?
Yes.
Oh, good job. Joined in the Dream Restaurant by Dara O'Brien. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Oh, here he is.
Oh, my. Ooh, is that a smoke? Oh, it's and now it's dissipating and it's...
Welcome.
Oh, James Acaster from an amazing effect.
Welcome along, Dara. Thank you for responding to me properly. Most people...
Sorry, there's a little bit of smoke left.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're definitely... I mean, if you're only listening to this at home, you're missing half the effect there.
It is amazing how much effort you put in to create the impression.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
A French whorehouse, because that is...
Yes.
Is it just that I see the French... Because that's my ideal restaurant.
Everyone sees a different thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I see like a classic... 1890s.
Yeah. You've just kind of given yourself away there. You're like when people like, and that politician tried to call another politician out. It's like, is it appropriate on the Labour website you are recommending that people, that there's hot, horny girls in their area? And then everyone was like, that's your algorithm. That's that's
history.
Like you just saying, oh, this is a whorehouse. It's Dara. It's just because of your eyes.
It was more the look I felt that you were aiming for. But maybe that sets off my food choices perfectly. We don't know.
We don't know yet.
It's a magical place.
I'm
now turning down. No. On a propriet. Je suis dans un podcast.
And your starter is a brothel soup.
Peut-être après le podcast. We laugh. The sophisticated laugh of a soldier returning from a war in the Crimea or something.
I didn't know you spoke such good French, Dara.
Oh, a bit. it's compulsory in our schools until they're 18.
So, is it?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know that.
Well, I probably did French until I was 18, but I couldn't tell you any.
Well, Ashton B's done this French podcast now. And absolutely fobbed us off. She didn't do any French on it.
No, that's true.
Really?
Yeah.
As if she didn't speak any French. But
she didn't speak any French.
She literally had to do French, by the way. She was in the same schools as mine. She had to do French.
Well, she's not using it like you are.
Yeah, well, you know, she doesn't do the scene setting in the same way.
Mm.
I did listen to the Ashton B podcast.
Sure.
In which she spoke at length about a meal that we all had.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot remember. but I've been in Lobster and Burger.
Yeah.
And I don't remember Ashton B going, oh, nom, 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 nom. This is the best thing ever. I don't want to sleep with any of you. Oh, nom, 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 nom. I'm so relieved not to have there to be any sexual chemistry at all around the table. Oh, nom, 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 nom. And I said, Harry and Art, and friend going, okay, that's fine.
You're settling scores at the top of the podcast.
I'll get onto Osman later. I remember vague Paddy's name, but I don't remember the specifics of.
Yeah,
we brought Ashley for a meal, and it was the lobster she'd always wanted to eat because there was no tension.
There was no sexual tension.
And the three married men that she was with. Yeah. I don't confirm there wasn't any.
Yeah.
But because I was really working hard in Ireland at the time. You're Mrs. in Ireland at the moment. So
I forgot that there was that crossover and that story was in there about Dara not being sexy enough for Ashton.
You know, just no one expected. Just. Despite the guys as sexy, I mean, just some sort of fob us off with
that kind
of
I look forward to seeing what dish you've prepared as a comeback to her later on.
Yeah.
Beef, obviously.
Beef is beef.
With Aisling.
Well, you're very sexy in the restaurant right now.
Thank you.
Everyone's been saying so.
Oh, thank you. But they're French prostitutes in the 1890s. That is literally what they're obliged to do. Sure. Oh, monsieur, you are very sexy. Yeah. Soldier returned from the Crimea.
That's a good point.
I doubt there were.
But they said it to us when you weren't around.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
We said you were coming in, they were like, he's so sexy.
But obviously we don't see them as that. We see, me and Ed see different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see them as, like I said, robots, don't you?
They're my genie robots.
Yeah, okay.
and Ed.
Squirrels.
Squirrels.
Oh, for Ed. Okay, fine.
Little squirrels.
Just Disney squirrels.
Yeah, it's pretty weird when they said you were sexy, actually.
Yeah. I'm not happy with any of that.
Please, yeah. No. Are you a foodie, Dara?
I like food. I think that's probably evident from a general manner and the way I carry myself. But I would have the same. I was kind of thinking about this in the way here because I felt I should give this a moment's thought.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that.
In some ways, it's probably a bit like if and when I go into a music podcast or do Desert Island Disc or something or talk about something about my musical taste, I have a very broad but very shallow. Oh, I love Thai food. That dish. I love that dish of Thai food. I love, Mexico. I like that part of it, you know. I like a lot of different things, but few of them.
I overheard someone say, I love food. Food is awesome. I could eat all food.
Was it yourself? Because that's exactly the sort of thing you would say.
It wasn't myself, but like it was someone that I just thought that none of what you said means anything.
Yeah.
No, it was very, and they were saying it like, you know, it was a group of people and they were trying to sound cool.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't just like someone being enthusiastic. It was like people about to go into like a meeting and she'd just met them all and was trying to sound real cool. I could eat all food.
As if food was her thing.
Yeah, I could eat all food.
I could eat all food.
No. Yeah, but I see people saying that like it's like music. Everybody likes music.
Yes.
Yeah. Like a country's going, well, this Ireland, we say it in Ireland, Ireland is unique for its, you know, laughter and music. Everyone laughs, lads. Everyone laughs. And there's music everywhere. Cavemen hit rocks. There's music. There's always been music. And food equally. Yeah, nom, nom, nom. I'd go back for seconds like food. But I'm not necessarily... Well, I love what they've done with this. I would go to a restaurant just to have 60 different flavours. Mm. You know, that thing where you come out of somewhere like the Fat Duck, and I've done the Fat Duck a couple of times, and you go, oh, some chips would be just great now. Because it's been like 40 courses of different flavours, and I totally appreciate that.
Yes.
But I'd also like to eat a meal.
You'd like to fill yourself up.
Yeah, there's an element of which. I'm not saying that I'd sit dipping the chips into...
Yeah.
Take the headphones off to go, oh, I'm supposed to enjoy this cloud of foam. Okay, I'll just put on some chips.
Can I just take the iPod to McDonald's? Is that...
Yeah, I've hacked the pod and I've just put on Ace of Spades. And I'm enjoying this more.
Did you have to do that? Is there dishes where you have to put headphones in?
Yes, there is. And the idea is it's sounds of the sea, so you hear seagulls and trawler men arguing and nets unraveling. And that... Ding ding noise that we're
if you listen for too long, a body washes up on the beach.
Yeah, yeah. And they go, oh my god, no! Why? You don't have to take him and shingle and stuff. And then while doing that, you eat a mussel.
You go, that's it makes so you feel much more.
And to be honest, it's a lovely bit of theatre. It's a very nice thing.
I love the idea of that. I'd be well on board with that.
Yeah,
you know I would be.
Yeah, yeah, you'd like that. But then I know your music taste. You don't listen to sea music.
No, I don't think you have to necessarily be in... You're not like going, oh, yeah, that's some good sea music.
Yeah, it's not like whale song.
What beach is this?
Yeah.
No, it's, you haven't heard of the beaches I'm listening to?
Yeah.
obscure beaches.
Yeah, it's pretty obscure.
It's more of a cove.
Yeah.
Really, yeah, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it.
Yeah, it's more stony, but yeah, you listen, you like your sound. That's
grand,
yeah.
Oh, I hate stone beaches so much. I went on a stag do to Brighton, worst weekend of my life.
Why did you even end up on the beach? What time of year was it?
Well, it's last year when the World Cup was on.
Oh, so summer, like, so young.
Yeah,
it's hot.
But they were like, they booked us kayaking and I just was on the verge of tears the whole time. You got to like, my back was absolutely killing me. I got no core strength at all. I wanted to lay
it's
back.
Not
There's
a good
nothing
thing
to lay
that,
back
yeah,
on.
Because you have to sit, around, to sit in a really weird position.
Up while you're doing like, something you've never done before, absolutely horrible. And then at the end of it, you have to take your kayak back to the shop and walk barefoot across a pebble beach.
No.
And the amount of times I nearly cried in front of little kids is embarrassing. Oh man, I hated it so much. And
unfortunately, there was someone there recording for Heston Blumenthal's restaurant.
Yeah,
yeah. So that
someone would be eating this and be going,
I wish I were dead.
I love Brighton in general, but that beach.
And it involves adopting a position the one that you normally... Like, we did filming, I remember once, with some in Thailand or something, and the guys to meet monks, and you're supposed to sit in that position.
Mm.
And You know, I can't. I just physically can't.
I can't sit on the floor. Like, I went to Japan quite recently, and we did a couple of those meals in proper kaiseki. And it's impossible. So everyone else is standing up there, cross-legged, and me sort of half kneeling down.
And one leg. One leg is in the and the other leg has to be by necessity straight out 90 degrees, in the groin of a waiter who's going, really? You're kind of insulting me here. Like, you go, I cannot. I can half do both of them.
Yeah,
or I can do one of them really well.
And getting up is a whole other thing after sitting like that for an hour and a half.
There was a place that I had to wear the kaiseki in a ryokan or something, but there was a dip in the floor. There was like a little hole.
Yeah, that's useful.
I like that cheat.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put that in my house.
Yes. Are you?
Yeah.
I also have a little hole in the floor. I can sit and dangle my legs in it while I'm eating my food.
Are you in a flat or a house?
I'm in a flat.
Upstairs, is an upstairs flat? Upstairs.
Yeah, second floor.
I'm just teasing out a possible design flaw with that may.
I'm just saying.
I don't see the problem.
There's a design flaw with that design flaw, unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Funny thing is, those legs belong to James Age. No, they do actually.
No, because they could see up into my flat. I'll just do two little holes for my legs.
Yeah.
I'll sit there and dangling my feet into them.
Yeah.
You're going to lose a lot. They won't tickle my feet.
Yeah, you're going to lose a lot of socks.
And it could tickle my feet, though.
Mm.
I didn't put my shoes on when I do it.
So many issues with it.
Otherwise, I'll tickle my feet when I'm eating.
Would there be times where
they go... what if they tie my shoelaces together?
Would there be times where they go, oh, James is a lady back.
James is entertaining. High heels come through the ceiling.
Yeah.
I could do that anytime I want them to think I've got a lady around.
Yeah.
Put on my tights and high heels and put those through the holes.
Yeah.
Dara, would you like sparkling or still water?
Still water, if I can, please.
Always still? Yours is still,
always
man?
Still. I can't stand the taste of sparkling water. I think it's a dreadful thing. I think it's...
It
is, weirdly, the thought experiment that we had when we were children, when SodaStream was popular in Ireland.
Sure,
When SodaStream was aspired to in Ireland. I never had SodaStream. SodaStream was something that the O'Connors had it.
Right.
And we would go around to the
O'Connors. My uncle had it. I never had SodaStream. Yeah. But whenever I'd go over there, I'd be like, first, straight through the door. Take my shoes off, straight to the SodaStream. Fizzy lime, please.
Fizzy
lime.
That was your one?
Yep.
I don't remember having enough to establish a pattern of what I wanted. I do know that the thought experiment was, what would you do if you did it with water? What would it taste like?
Yeah.
And then a massive industry swung in behind that notion. I mean, I only idly mentioned that and then kickstarted a whole thing that I now, I think, should apologise for. So the whole fizzy water thing was because I, as a 7-year-old, mused on the what if, tweeted in some form of early kind of...
You were running for office at the time, weren't you?
Yeah.
You said it in one of your rallies.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. What if, I said, buying a giant poster myself.
That's
and I said it as a ridiculous thing. Mm. That my opponent is the sort of person who would bubbleify the tap water. How much of an establishment elite he is. That was a very, my puppy's movement died out, but that idea remained. And then the major company. I think it's really, I find it brackish, a term I use all the time. Brackish is a term I use all the time. For example, you were married to me, it would have gone past the point of a joke about 14 years ago. I go brackish and tart. The two words
you
I use.
You say that to the waiter every time. Right?
Yeah, that is, I find that brackish.
Still, please, I find sparkling brackish.
But do you not find it's a bit bitter? It's unpleasant.
Yeah, I never really go for it. I think it's fine with a wedge of lime. Again, I think I just like fizzy lime.
Everything's fine with a wedge of lime. Ed Gamble.
We will come to this.
Phrase.
The insertion of fruit into a drink, that the drink has not been designed with that fruit in mind.
Right.
I object to this, and I have objected to this. Mm. I have done this. We may mention other cola-based drinks later as the thing goes on. But this idea of like, this is the thing you ordered. But I've taken it on myself to put in a really strong flavour on that you didn't ever ask for.
Okay.
Sounds like someone has never had a Jack Bauer and Coke.
I beg your pardon?
What's a Jack Bauer and Coke?
When I worked in the kitchen.
Oh, here we go.
I would get...
The Mash King?
This is before I was the Mash King.
Yeah, okay.
I was the Mash King at the next kitchen I worked at. This was the first one. After work, I'd always get a pint of Coca-Cola.
Was that one of your funny jokes you used to make in the kitchen?
Me and David Trent called it Coca-Cola.
Right, okay.
Always have done. And then
stop trying to make Coca-Cola a thing.
it's not working. Yeah, if it stopped at you and Trent, it's definitely not working.
A lot of things I'll say on this podcast catch on, Ed.
Yeah, okay. Coca-Cola is definitely now going to catch on.
Why is it not Cookie-Cola?
Oh, that would be
is that too
a
much?
Bit babyish, isn't it?
Okay, you're right. It was just the right amount of babyish.
Yeah. Coca-Cola.
I've infantilized it too
far. Yeah. That was a bit silly. Okay. But I would never say that. Okay. But I would get a pint of Coca-Cola and I would always ask. So I hated ice in. With fruit with drinks, I'm like it with ice. I think it's a false commodity. I think they're conniness. It just waters down your drink. I don't like having
but
ice.
But it cools
in my
your drink. Are you happy with the process by which it cools your drink?
It's not a fair swap. It's not a trade. I don't like the trade off. You get a cooler drink, but it gets watered down. No, thank you. And also, you don't get as much of the drink in there because the ice takes.
Listen. We all register that is one of the great scams. Which is a glass filled to the top with ice, and then a small jet of cola. And I have gone. I'm sorry, sir. This is a quality restaurant. Take this Coley back and send me a fuller Coley.
Brackish.
I have got. As a notion, it's brackish that you do that to me. Or when they sell you the tiny bottles, the 20 centiliter bottles,
that's your
£3.50 worth of Coley. I am not doing this, and I will stamp and I will scream in my high chair until you give me the proper. I find that could be complete rip off.
So what I would do instead.
Okay.
Was, and to be fair, I guess in a way, this is also just filling up a glass, but I would literally get them to put as much of the sliced up fruit in the glass as they could. So just loads of lemon, orange and lime was what we had at this pub. And they would just fill it with that and then put the Coca-Cola all over that. And then I would just let it sit for a bit. So all the fruit, like a punch, seeped into the Coca-Cola and I would drink it. And a few people in the pub saw me doing this and started copying me. And there's about four of us who used to do this after work. And then when I was not around, one of them named it a Jack Bauer and Coke. Now, there was no reason why it was called a Jack Bauer and Coke at the time. A few of them were just watching 24 a lot. Yeah. And so they called it that. I was not happy with the name.
No.
Especially because I was the one who invented it and then I didn't get to name it.
Yeah.
And then they named it something that I wasn't even watching myself. But that is what it's called. It's a Jack Bauer and Coke.
That sounds like a terrible drink.
It doesn't sound good.
It was nice at the time.
Did it add notes to it?
Such a delicious dark. Now Coca-Cola are doing it all the time. They're releasing stuff that's like, peach flavour.
Yeah,
and
okay,
all these
all
different
wrong.
Flavours. They've done incorrect. Lemon and all that. This is natural fruit flavours. This is what they're going for when they do it and they never achieve it because they get all the artificial flavours. This is natural fruit in the Coca-Cola.
But not seem like, like pressure with this, but I like the flavour of, well, the diet ones now more than the original.
Yeah.
They're funny with syrupy now. The
I did, but I got a lot of flack on that.
Yeah,
online
have.
Online for saying that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People get really angry.
They do. They get angry all sorts of things. They should just start. If you feel it rising in you as any of us speak, just check us. Just take a moment and go, it's a big universe. Spit the pips and feel the taste of things being various. It is. But dark, I just like the taste of it. And so my life is a constant struggle of finding a spare implement and not just the scooping out of it.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's buried under an iceberg when you've got to take some of the ice out to get the thing to get the bit of lime out.
Yes.
But then you're left with, now I'm holding a piece of lime, a dripping piece of lime at the table. And am I supposed to just put it onto the cloth?
This has a really good potential for a Spotted in Heat magazine.
Holding a little wedge of lime.
Mark the Week host Daro been digging around for a bit of lime and then holding it whilst it drips onto the table.
Some barman did. I did. Added me into a thing where I said, had that at Darabin in there complaining about the lemon or the drink. You put another flavour in, and it's a really strong flavour. It's like, that's a nice drink. Maybe like some ketchup in it. No, I don't want you to add another. I order because I like this flavour.
Good idea, though, for new pubs. They want to put ketchup in their Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Okay.
Darabin started it.
Is that Tony Soprano and Coke?
Tony Soprano and Coke. Pop it on bread,
Dara! Oh, Jesus.
Pop it on bread!
God, you pick your moment. Even when you know it's happening. Even when you, was fully aware that this was going to happen at some stage. I mean, it's not even an issue, it's Brett. But, but, ow, wow. That is surprisingly aggressive. I don't think it comes across as aggressive on the podcast.
Yeah, well, people never experienced it in person. In the podcast, I'll listen to it and think, yeah.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
But also, it has got more aggressive.
Yeah, I suppose you have to be raising it now.
Yeah. There's certain people that I know have listened to. You gave away early doors in this podcast. You listened to Ashton's episode. I was like, he's going to know it's coming. I've got to make sure I pick my moment, get him talking about Coca-Cola, be distracted.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to be putting here on the... I mean, this is the order of it. I mean, this is the format. But still.
Yeah.
Still,
that was a very aggressive one.
It was a very aggressive one, like the... The answer... after I've been startled and recovered my composure. Am I still holding a piece of lime?
You are
fork?
For the whole meal, I'm afraid.
That doesn't seem like a dream restaurant.
And it never dries.
Yeah,
and it's the wettest wedge.
And but even when it does dry, they come over and top it up. Your lime has dried. And they give you another lime.
Here they've got a little like just cotton bud with water and they just sort of base the top of it.
So I'm just standing there with it pooling underneath.
Only the best.
So yes, bread, absolutely bread. Poppadoms, fine in place, but like I wouldn't, you know, they're there if they're there. And they're such a conduit for chutney. They're just very, I mean,
oh, all the words today.
Yeah.
Conduit.
Yeah. But they are though. No one will go, oh, I'll have a bit of poppadom now. It is just it's a chutney fork. It is a large break it your own size chutney fork. Chutney, the red one, and that other sort of yoghurty milky one. What is that?
Is it just mint?
Mint yogurt.
Mint yogurt. Sort
of thing. Oh, fine, good. Then I back my own decision to never dip something in it.
Let's just go back a little bit. It's pronounced conduit. Is it? That's how it's pronounced.
Conduit. Yeah, the word.
You weren't just saying it for a laugh.
No, it's conduit. Okay. Yeah. Driver. Yeah, to drive.
Okay.
To
drive. I've been saying conduit.
I say conduit as well.
Conduit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, listen. Actually, I'm sorry. Maybe people do.
Look around, Dara. Where are we? You say conduit, so all the ladies understand what you mean.
Oh, bonjour. Oh, hello.
I wasn't challenging you. I was just like, in the past, I've been burnt on this show by saying blimmies and stuff.
Yeah. Instead of blinis.
Yeah. Okay.
James had been saying blimmies.
I've got a few of those. Oh, I've got a very good one of those. I just forgot one of those. I only found out last week. Remember I found out on Mock? Yeah, gilet.
Oh, yeah.
I've been saying gillet for some time. That's probably, But apparently I've been a fool. But I've learned ladies. And now the ladies are all wearing gilets. Because that clearly is what I like.
My granddad was very good for those. He's from Northern Ireland. And instead of Peugeot, he used to say Puget, even though he was told time and time again that it was not a Peugeot. It was Peugeot, not Puget.
Was it Peugeot we said as well in Ireland?
Puget, he would say.
Okay, that's maybe wrong.
And I mean, it rarely came up, but femme fatale was femme fatale.
That does come up very rarely. Yeah. And when it does, it's usually in context where it's a bit like the Coca-Cola. Femme fatale ruins it. Like at the end of like a top quality 1980, like Malice or one of these films, or that one with Kathleen Turner and William Hurt, where she's already... Body Heat.
Right.
Right. At the end, she goes, well, I guess I'm just that femme fatale. like one of those courtroom dramas, Jagged Edge or whatever. Yeah. Like, are you femme fatale?
Femme fatale.
Yeah.
Also, Ed, don't think it hasn't gone unnoticed that you just try to score points of your lineage. Really, really slid that under the doorman, didn't he?
If you got a green card, play it with me.
He did it straight away.
In this current, I don't know when this is going out, post-Brexit or pre-Brexit.
Sure.
At some point, it's going to be very different post-Brexit, this show, isn't it?
Yeah.
So fruit, remember fruit? Yeah. Remember vegetables? They were great. Remember non-British apples?
What's quite good about this podcast is people send us food for free now, so all we're doing is stockpiling.
We are. A couple of little...
Is that there's like a big bag of poppadoms?
That's why I'd imagine squirrels, because they help us store all the food up.
With a little song.
In the tree.
Sing a song, and they stack them up. Like whatever. Bread, by the way, totally bread.
Is there a certain bread?
Yeah, do you know what the one that, absolutely, if this is a dream, those ones that come as a little loaf? Like quite a crispy loaf, white, obviously, like we're fools here. But a little crispy loaf, and you can take it like a quarter of the loaf and take that apart. That's quite a...
One in Ratatouille that she squeezes. There's a bit in Ratatouille where the lady that he makes friends with in the restaurant, and she just says that bread is all about the sound, and she squeezes this bread. And it sounds amazing. It's the best sounding bread.
Oh.
There you go. Have a good loaf of bread.
Like the 1890s. This can do the 1890s theme. A Daimler car horn to alert the man walking in front of the flag.
Butter, Dara?
Is there butter? I'll have to take salted or unsalted. I'm all right. It comes a little round ramekin dish. That'd be great.
Yeah. So it's more about the dish for you.
I feel that's part of the experience. And not... that I have to slice it away in layers and then apply the layer to the bread and take another slice. Yeah. I'd like it to be now for a while so then just move smoothly. I would also, though, go for the dippy oil and vinaigrette thing.
You want to go for both?
What the hell?
You can have both.
I'm doubling up on all this, lads.
So spread on the butter and then dip in the oil.
I wouldn't. I'd take one and then one bit I might do the butter.
Right, okay. Mix it up.
If there's a tapenade, like a bit of olive tapenade or something, you know, like, I mean, while we're doing this, let's spend everything on this, like whatever. A couple of tapenades would be great.
This is the first mention of tapenade.
This is the first tapenade mention. I'm not really sure what we're talking about.
Oh, it's like olives crushed up little things. It's like a spread, a meteor.
Like
a spread with a bit some vegetable in it, but that's a bit. Like you spread it like, but it's often mixed with butter, I think. And so it's a straight onto the bread.
I've never had this before. It sounds delicious. That's right up my street.
It's very. I think it would be. Yeah. It's not like a hummus or something like that. Like whatever.
It's very grown. It's a very grown up taste.
Okay. Yeah. When did you first have a tapenade then?
Within the last, I don't know, 10 years, or was it on offer? I don't know. I don't remember going, this will change everything. Remember this day, darling. Remember the day we discovered tapenade.
Yeah.
I do know that the oil and vinaigrette thing really thundered into our lives around about 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
I remember, because I just moved over to London and suddenly everyone was doing it. And I sort of, I suppose, well, here in the London. Are you all doing this now?
Arriving in London, all the lights, you're spinning around in the middle of Oxford Circus and then suddenly there's oil and vinegar.
Everywhere. Jets are coming out of all over the statue in Piccadilly. All over Eros is just splattered with vinegar and vinaigrette and oil. It was an awful situation. It's a historical remnant of that one sequence. When that all went oil and vinaigrette. It's a game of ratios that it is an exciting thing to have to break through one layer to get to the other layer. It's like a liquid cream egg. You have to get through one layer to get to the yumminess, that's like kicky yumminess of the thing of the vinegar underneath. But if there's too much of one, then it's just what you've done. You've created a Molotov cocktail. You've created like the swaddling for a bomb. That's what it is. You've created an oily mass, and now you got that in your hand, and like the lime in the other. Like it's
tapenade. That's a write-off. Now you can't go anywhere near that.
Well, you can't. I mean, these are all have to be applied to different parts, which is why you want the mini loaf that has the whole
thing. Cream eggs.
Yeah.
Their whole campaign of how do you eat yours and stuff like that. Remember that?
I do remember. When there's only
have
one
you ever seen it. Anyone eat a cream egg in any way but one? Well, I mean, that's not.
No. You gnaw the top off and then you lick the middle out and then you eat the rest of it.
Well, actually, maybe it's different.
What is the other way of doing it?
You just bite into it and eat it.
Oh, really?
That's what I would do.
Yeah, just munch away at it.
No, you ask the squirrels, right? You gnaw, you gnaw away into your cream.
You gnaw the top off.
Okay, until you create a hole large enough to insert your tongue.
To lick the whole thing, to lick the whole middle out.
All the middle out.
And then you eat the shell.
And then you eat the shell, That's absolutely the way you do it.
I just think that's a very liberal use of the word.
Next. Yeah. Oh, okay, right. Mars bars, right? Mars bars, right?
Shove them up your ass?
No.
Yeah. What do you do with that?
Eating. You eat the toffee layer off, then you fold it over to create a Milky Way. So cream eggs, that's what you do. You gnaw them and you lick out the middle.
Well, you don't. But, you isn't the... You should say I.
One
that's what
that.
I do.
One does that. One.
That's what I do. All
sensible consumers.
One, as in one person.
Yeah, one person in the world.
But you just... The whole lot in one...
No, not the whole.
I don't think you're pulling your mouth and then punch yourself in the jaw to create an explosion. But bite
it. Bite the top off. Just keep maybe biting. Another bite at the side. Just bite it. Eat it like an apple.
It's a cream egg.
And then what? You throw away the middle?
No, I don't throw away the middle, to be fair.
Yeah.
David Trent, coming back to David Trent yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Once he gave
his
son.
We call them creamy eggies.
Yeah. Yeah, gave his son a chocolate orange for Christmas, and his son had never had a chocolate orange before, and he just sat there and ate it like an apple.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What would you like for your starter, Darwin?
I find the starter menu to be quite an appealing one. It's a wonder that this hasn't. It's never kicked off the all starters thing, unless you call it tapas, and then fine, grand.
Sure.
But there was one in Middlesbrough, starters only restaurant,
right,
which was next door to the cinema that did 2 for 1 Wednesday. And we went in to see some dreadful film we're touring in Middlesbrough about the loom of fate and Angelina Jolie.
Wanted.
Yeah, a series of international assassins. And then came out and the place was packed because it was 2 for 1 Wednesday and it was all the students come out for 2 for 1 Wednesday. That was a very popular thing. It turned out that initiative.
Yeah, surprising.
Yeah. Next door there was a starters only restaurant where you could just order your wings and your, Frito Misto or whatever. That's all they had. And I thought that must be genius, but actually it's never really worked.
It's not taken off.
It's not taken off as a thing. Whereas I happily, I think they're a glorious thing. But there's loads I like. The one I would go for if it was on the thing, just because the philosophy I took was, okay, if I was just there and I happened to see this, I had it in Vietnam once.
Mm-hmm.
And which brings up ideas, oh my God, was it a exotic mixture of spices? It was in a French restaurant in Vietnam and it was chowder.
Yeah,
creamy fish chowder in a bread bowl.
Yes,
yes.
And the bread bowl is just makes it with a hat, even had a lid.
Oh,
it was still slightly off.
Do you know where I had the best chowder I've ever had? Belfast.
Really?
Yeah. In whatever hotel it was I was staying, I can't remember what the hotel was, but it did this amazing chowder. I was there for 3 days and I had it twice. That's how good the chowder was. Absolutely delicious. Loved it.
Things that Belfast does very, very well. Belfast got into whole pop-up restaurants a little bit later and does things very well.
Mm.
Belfast, Boujum's in Belfast, does the best burrito in the world.
Right.
Bar maybe Mexico.
Mexico, perhaps.
But in this part of the world, because they do a thing that nobody else thinks to do, which is you go along the line, you go, nah, and then at the end, they do a thing. So they do a little shaky thing. So all the flavors mix.
They shake the burrito.
This seems like, why has nobody done this? You shake the burrito and therefore you mix the flavours.
Yeah.
And it's not like you when you're eating a burrito. And burritos are great because they really, I like them as a mathematician because you get a strong sense of exactly what the volume of food you're eating. Yes. It is multiplied by 2 pi r. It is that is exactly what you're doing. Yeah. Have eaten. Pi r squared, actually. Pi r squared. So you'd totally know the volume of food. I will eat this tube of food and I've eaten this. But when you bite into it, sometimes I seem to be, again, going mainly through...
just rice for ages.
Rice for a while. Now I've hit the... and so that sounds... What's a green... God, maybe the
guacamole.
I'm now entering the guacamole. And not like in a fun Veruca Salt chewing the...
Yeah.
You think, now I'm having soup. It's lovely. It's going on my throat. I got to get somewhere in here, this chicken. I got to get to the chicken. Yeah. So much is about things you get through to get to the thing you want to eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
The trifle.
But Boujum's genius... Shaky. Just a case of like flipping the mattress a bit, flipping the, you know, knocking the balance that it's sitting on, right? Giving it a couple of goes, and then all the flavour, and then every bite.
Yeah. So hold on, but they're not shaking. This is before they've wrapped the burrito up.
Before they wrap the burrito up.
Yeah, okay.
It's open.
So I had an image that they've wrapped the burrito up like and then they're shaking like a cocktail. Yeah. I was like, how is that even
they
mixing?
They do tricks, they're throwing it in the air.
That would be, if they could do that, like, and then roll it down one arm after the other, like the air. But no, they do a little thing, and then they give it to you, and you go, you are a genius.
That is good. Because I prefer burrito bowls, just naked burritos.
Oh, really? So you can mix
it. You can mix it all in, and it's really nice. And I just find, I don't get as full as I get with a normal burrito afterwards.
I can't deal with a burrito. That is basically a nap for me. That is a
nap wrapped in foil. Really? Solid arrival of... Yeah.
Just everything in there.
Pi r squared times h amount of food. It's just going to be... I think it's a lovely thing. And also, you can pick and choose. Weirdly, I had one the other day in Norway, in an airport in Norway, in Buda Airport or Trumso Airport in Northern Norway, because I was doing gigs up there. Mm. And the guy said, oh, we don't have a burrito. And then he went the other way along the line.
What?
He went the other way. He said, would you like some, I forgot the name of that thing again. It's green. Guacamole. And I said, yes. So he smears that onto the bread first.
Whoa.
Then smears the salsa on, gives the option of sour cream, which I skipped because it's white and cold. And that's my general rule.
Yeah.
Right. And then worked his way backwards to the meat, right?
Wow.
And so the second, and there was no rice, which was a bit of a flaw, but he got to the beans. He said, I want some beans. This is great. What beans have you got? Expect him to say pinto and
black beans,
right? And he goes, baked beans. And it literally was just Heinz baked beans, right? and I had two things fighting. First was my urge to be in some way culturally correct, and someone knows it has to be made with, was shouted down by a voice going, you love Heinz baked beans. Like, you're very happy to have Heinz baked beans with any meal. You'll have Heinz baked beans. So just have the Heinz baked beans. You're not obliged to force him to then go, all right, we'll get you some pinto beans. Yeah. But it was like, so baked beans.
Was it good?
It was grand. It was fine.
I mean, it sounds like a really weird burrito.
It was
No rice, but
Heinz baked beans. Yeah. And then he broke some nachos in for crispiness.
Oh, that's good.
Into the burrito.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that as an idea.
It worked. It was a very pleasant burrito. It wasn't as quite as heavy.
I think without rice and baked beans, was it not too saucy? I just imagine you taking one bite and it just flopping over and just loads of baked beans.
He hadn't gone so heavy in the salsa. Like when you make them yourself and you lift it up and you have to make that little nappy at the bottom for it, you know, where you fold. And it is actually quite a traditional nappy shape. Yeah. Fold over, fold the legs in. Are you happy there now? And then you eat it because it all pools at the bottom. Chowder in a bread bowl. Chowder's lovely. Chowder's gorgeous. Chowder's a fine thing.
What fish is in the chowder?
I think you can vary it.
Yeah.
I believe there was broadly there'll always be some chunky white fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Depending where you are, you see the proper part of the world. And some prawns. That's enough. You've got two types of fish, maybe three. It's impressive enough. Not too heavy on the corn for me. Tons of cream, you know, there is a festival in Kinsale that only ran for 1 year, the Kinsale Comedy Festival. And we all went down to this comedy festival and it was a total disaster. It hadn't been advertised, so nobody's at any of the shows. I mean, two of the shows got pulled, which is a total result, because all we were doing was going from seafood restaurant to seafood restaurant and eating chowder.
Great.
It was a chowder festival. The outstanding addition to it was we were queuing up for chips late one night and there was a thing, like a round ball of something in batter. And there's a guy ordering it and we're going, what is that? Like, and it's a potato in batter. Just for the full
battered potato.
Battered potato for the full carb thing late at night.
What kind of a potato? Was it like a jacket potato? Roast potato?
Do you know what? I don't think it's roast. I don't think you'd like roast thing in oil and then put the batter and then put more oil on. I presume it's a boil. It could be just a large boiled potato, but in batter.
Yeah. Would you have that with chips?
Yeah, he did.
He had battered potato and chips.
Yeah.
That is absolutely amazing.
So I'm not saying all.
I mean, we weren't going to chuck around any stereotypes, but that is a great story.
We'll get to potatoes. But anyway, chowders. I think chowders are a fine thing. I can name great chowders I've had. Legendary places that do just do.
Do you eat the bowl?
Sorry, not tradition, but in this situation, specifically, yes, with the bread, you do.
Yeah,
it's like you break off and dip, and you work your way down.
Okay.
The bowl, I think.
Darv's already had bread.
And now you're having a bread bowl.
Wait, wait, wait. Okay, this is a fancy restaurant in which I can do whatever I want.
Absolutely. Yes.
There
absolutely.
We go. There
There's
we
no
go.
Judgment.
There seem to be.
No, I'm just into asking.
Oh, so, yeah, it's like the 1890s prostitutes. They're going to say, trees. Carboli.
Carboli delighted.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, just like, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, yeah. But would you like all of the crockery tonight to be made of bread? I can sort that out.
It's not that I need to eat through the whole everything, that I want there to be nothing left by the end.
Well, we could do it. We can make the table out of bread.
Oh,
that's the sort of thing Heston Blumenthal would do.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, he would do everything apart from the bowl made of bread.
Yeah.
Well, so you put me in bread for the meal. Put the bread in through and I'll slowly eat my way out.
Yes.
And then I emerge at the end. Like a reverse cream egg. I'll emerge out of the thin hole at the top. And I'll... Ta-da!
Just still holding a little lime as you you know,
on the tunnel
your way out with the bread.
Yeah. No. Apart from moi. So I remember it being absolutely lovely. But it's a combination of a couple of other things. But the dipping in, the creaminess of it. Oh, God, very, very.
Chowder is very underrated, and I think most people forget about it. So I'm glad that it's been brought up in this podcast, because I always forget how much I love chowder. And then when it's on a menu, it's like, you know, sometimes you're at a disco or something. At a disco.
You're looking at me as if I go to a disco.
You're always at a disco, aren't you?
Am I? Good point, actually. I love a disco. Clubs. Yeah.
It's like the best songs are the ones that you absolutely love, but you forgot about.
Yeah.
And they play them and you're like, oh, yeah. That's what chowder is.
So that's what, if you see chowder on a menu, you're like, tune!
Yeah! Yeah. But I'm like, I did not go to
grabbing
this
the person stuff. You're with and screaming in their face.
Yeah, Do you remember chowder?
Do you remember chowder? Say it, Frenchie.
Yeah, that's what it always reminds me of as soon as you said chowder.
Oh, chowder.
Chowder.
Chowder, yeah, I know.
And we come on to your main course.
My main course, yeah.
What would you like?
Well, see, I went around the house a bit on this one going, what do you, you know, how fancy does it have to go or what you think? But honestly, it'd be meat. Meat off the bone. I realize thematically, meat that is falling off the bone, broadly speaking. So like a ribeye, and not every meal I eat is as carnivorous as this, but I'm here. Yeah. I'm here now.
Sure.
Or the ribs. Oh, very good ribs.
Yeah.
Very good ribs falling off the bone. Yeah. Wet rub rather than dry rub, I think. That is emerging delightfully.
You like all the sauce.
Yes. Mm. The whole thing. But actually, lamb. Lamb.
Oh, yes.
Lamb shank.
Yeah. That's the ultimate falling off the bone experience, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you're really left with it with a proper bone in the middle. And actually, I've had an Indian. This Indian lamb shank is fantastic. Mm. It's a couple of places to do that.
Yeah.
And it's pointed. If I see that, if they have Gujarati or something, the Gujarati lamb and shank, it's like one of those visual effects where all the other letters, like a credit sequence, all the other letters like powder away. Like the end of that big movie that appeared last year that we still can't spoil, I presume.
Oh, yeah.
All the other characters on the thing just go to dust. And I just, that is the thing.
That is absolutely.
But we filmed years ago, I think called Three Men in a Boat. Mm. And the very end of the very first episode was Griff Rhys-Jones was on an island somewhere preparing a meal, whereas myself and Rory, and the contrivance was that we found a pub and we decided to stay there rather than go back to the island. And surprising amount of people for years felt we genuinely had left Griff on his own on an island, and there's obviously like a camera crew and everything, and I'm still entirely sure that Griff, this has been explained to Griff, so they got an honest reaction off him, but we were all the time going, well, they're not going to leave him while we stay here, and it's grand. But what sealed the deal for me is I saw them carrying lamb shank through the restaurant, an order of lamb shank, and it came with two shanks.
Double
shankage. You actually get to be, you could mind being all of that part of the sheep, like you could do the thing, whatever. So lamb, I feel off the bone. We've done lamb in the past at home where you just lash in the oven for 8 hours on a really low heat.
Yeah.
I glaze it up actually usually with like a balsamic glaze, and it just comes off the bone beautifully.
Every time I have lamb shank, I'm surprised by how like moist it is.
Sure.
Delicious. I don't think I've ever had a bad one.
It's just like, living in Britain, growing up with dry lamb. I'm going to say that.
Dry what?
All the lamb in my childhood was dry. I didn't think I liked lamb.
Well, I think...
For years, I thought, I don't like lamb, it's the worst of all the meats. And then I went to New Zealand, and everyone was like, lamb is the best, what are you doing? gave me some lamb.
Yep. And it was amazing.
Or you I've been living in the dark.
Well, were you eating lamb chops and like lamb that was kind of weird on the cutlet, like, you know, where there's like
a tiny bit of lamb
on the end of a stick.
Yeah.
And it's like a lamb lollipop that you get one bite off.
Little lammy pop.
And you and those, and it doesn't matter how many they put onto the plate.
Yeah.
If you're gonna have the lamb cutlets, there could be 19 of them on the plate. Yeah. Normally there's three, which is a ludicrously small amount.
Well,
of
that's I went to Tayab's recently, the I think it's a Pakistani restaurant in, it's very famous, it's in Whitechapel, and they're famous for their lamb chops, and it was with my girlfriend, and I was like, we'll get three orders of lamb chops. She was like, that's ridiculous, and I was like, just you wait, because there's only a couple of bites on each one, because they're like little lammy pops.
Yeah.
And it's you just go through a whole plate of them, they're absolutely delicious, but they are like, you just, it's like someone's had a go at them before they've arrived.
And you always end up in a really good, just going, no, this is, there's something in this. There's a little bit, this thin strip of meat on the other side of the bone. That's you're supposed to have that as well.
That's it.
Like people really going crazy on a lobster, going, no, I think, like, I still have a good feeling that I have. There's been a bit of lobster I've not been told about, and all these years I've left it behind.
Sure.
People are going, a hidden bit. Yeah.
There's a hidden, an Easter egg of lobster that if you don't
know.
So,
have you not been.
All this time?
You've not been eating the lobster.
You've been eating just lobster brain. That's all brain there, right? And brain and fingernail you've been eating.
It's just a huge dick.
It's like a huge dick. I mean, we never say it because it seems crass, but that's what we said. It's a lobster dick.
It's the meatiest dick in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, it's a yummy dick. It's some butter sauce. We do, like, the brain thing was just like a, you know, we have that kind of, we make it for the soup.
Stock, the bisque.
We do some bisque with the brain, with a cock, lobster cock. Is what you
saw. Bite off the top and suck out the middle. What are you doing? What's the matter with you?
You got a cream egg.
But with the lamb chop, I do go.
Yeah,
really? And I'm gnawing at it like an animal. I don't.
The shank, you get a lot of bang for your buck with the shank.
You do.
Yeah. And
the shank is 360 degrees.
Yeah,
like you go, hello, ladies. There's more of this, like, you know, much like a Dover sole or something.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I'm finished. I'm not. I'm back in this again.
Seeing as it's your dream restaurant, we can present it for you if you like on a rotating plate, like a constantly rotating plate
made of bread. Don't worry.
So you can
no, I like it. I like it, you know.
You like the surprise of
Over. Like, well, okay. Well. Yeah. I think we meet again. Yeah.
Your side dish, Dara.
Yeah, again, you can do all sorts of... and actually, the side dish I'm picking isn't necessarily the best to go with this. I think this goes best with, rice and sauce. Or mash and gravy is usually very good. But I would like, just to go on the record, that the side dish should always be, in all meals, chips. Should always be, no matter what the meal, no matter what the thing is, chips. And I mean chip, proper chips. I'm eliminating.
Yeah. Well, when you say proper chips, what do you mean?
Potato that's been dipped in oil and cooked, right?
Yes.
Rather than fries. Rather than. There was an ad that ran for years for Spry, crisp and dry. And it had the frame was basically some like them, some like them, some like them, and some like them. But we all like our chips. Crisp and dry. No, we don't. We don't all like our chips crisp and dry. We like chips like you get from a chip shop, where if you hold it one end, it does bend slightly under its own weight.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Or with the skin still on in the areas that feels definitely like you have taken a potato, put it through like a crunk machine, and then fried that thing up, like rather than it being some sort of process of it's so proper. And I oven chips get on my those ones with that's kind of rectangular shape. You can tell it's an oven chip, like a
oven chips are awful.
They're awful. They're an abomination. And if you go into a place and that's what you get, it's like the. And no, I ordered. I had a really strong image in my head of what I was going to get, and then this came out, and this is not no. This is not the thing.
So chip shop chips, really? You want chip shop chippy chips, yeah.
A chip shop.
Yeah, like a chip shop.
Was there a particular chip shop growing up?
There's a number of them. All the chip shops in Ireland are run by Italians because that is their cuisine. And they came to Ireland and thought, well, we should introduce like battered fish and chips to the Irish. Like they're all, they were called Moscones, Capra, oh God, what's the other one in Bray? The... And they're all from Italian families. And yeah, they're all chip-chop chips. I know a guy got banned from one of them for going, how are you, Tony? Tony's the man behind the counter. Chips in one bag, grease in the other. And was told to leave. Chip-chop chips in Ireland. We have a different curry sauce as well in Ireland, which is a less kind of probably fruity curry sauce than you have here. And then there's the usual kind of, you know, and then there's obviously the potato and batter, which is a very specific thing, but but proper chip shop chips, I don't think there's anything. I mean, there's a phrase that Kate Moss said once, nothing tastes as great as being
thin skinny feels.
Lots of chips too.
There's a list of things that taste better than that.
I've lost some weight. The times I've lost weight, and it's kind of felt good. But it's come back because it didn't feel as good
as having chips.
Getting some chips.
What would you like to drink, Dara?
See, I would have replaced the water at the front with a diet or a Coke Zero. To be honest, because often that'll the water will go untouched, and I'll do the Coke Zero throughout the meal. But with this meal, I would like that wine. You know, that wine, wine that you had when you thought, oh wow, I really like wine.
This is amazing.
And that wine that you then chase. Forever. I'd like to finally meet that wine again because I have had that wine a few times, enough times so that I own a lot of wine. Because I think one of these wines in one of these bottles.
It must be.
They will find me in front of a huge wine cupboard at some stage, just pulling cork. They go, no, smash. And pulling the other one, no, where is it? Where is the wine that I had that time? Where is the Chateau de Unicorn?
Trying to find the golden ticket.
Yeah, that I had that one time. Because I've had occasionally just a stunning bottle of wine.
Yes.
That's really gone well. Red, it'll be red for this because it's a thing, whatever. And I could even express preferences in terms of grape.
Yeah,
an area and region, whatever a number of preferences, but yet there's no, you know, there's no. And I've got my writing wine,
right? Okay,
I've got writing wines, and then I've got you know, their writing ones are quite different either to drinkers or to the ones. I don't know if you write with wine.
No, but I love this. I imagine you put some spectacles on and get a glass of wine.
Well, I put spectacles on because I need to wear spectacles. That is the thing. Yeah, you've not seen them publicly, but they only.
Pretty pretentious wearing glasses, in my opinion.
We've just increased the font size on the auto cue, but eventually that will run out, and I will have to unleash my glasses. I only got glasses in the last year, and I have for some reason stumbled on a wireframe glasses, which are either a Swedish architect or Nazi bad guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's a Mirrorless Rubicon, which is South African wine, which is my choice of writing wine. It's not too expensive, you know, and by two glasses in, the stuff is kind of flowing. And then on the fourth glass, I'm just so happy with how good it was an hour earlier. Yeah. And God, I used to be so funny then.
Yeah.
And the fifth glass is like, there's nothing good happening here. So I find, because I don't know if you're like, there's only a small window of useful time when you're writing stuff. I think creatively you can create for a couple of hours really usefully. So I timed that with wine.
Have a little treat alongside it.
I did a thing, and I think that, you know, because I think you have to react off something as well. And if you're sitting on your own, just to knock yourself slightly off your axis with a little bit of, you know, get a little bit of a buzz, and then
I'm going to try that.
I honestly recommend it. It's a great thing. Like, for that,
see my next show as we go.
Perform it drunk.
If you write it drunk, I think you're going to have performing wine as well.
I've
never thought of performing wine. That is a level of complex even I didn't think to bring to it. But there are, I've bought really nice wines, and I have them sitting at home and thinking whatever, and then I open them and go, no, okay. But it's like, there's a lot more, I'll be honest enough to admit, there's a lot more, this is fine. As a ratio to, when can I please have the one time where it all...
Well, you've come to the right place.
There's a few Sommeliers who have got in touch with the podcast and offered wine tastings. And so I have a feeling, Dara, you're going to get offered a wine tasting off the back of this.
Do you know, honestly, if there was a really good broadly Pinot Noir, particularly Burgundy. Maybe finer wines of the Bordeaux, but actually Valpolicella or the Barolo regions of Italy. I'm more than happy to further my tiny knowledge. I found as I got to the age of 40 that I was very happy to stop being an expert on things in any way, or to pretend to be an expert on things, and discover things that were totally new to me that I, well, not new, but that I was very happy to admit to, I only know a bit about this.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm not going to fight any corners on this, like whatever. So, you know, to know a little bit about jazz, or a little bit about fine wine, or a little bit about something, the classical music, whatever, that, yeah, and yet be free of any kind of obligation to that certainty you have in your 20s where you go, no, this is the best. This band, if you don't like this band, you're wrong about this, because this band, I think that is quite nice to get to the point where you just go, okay,
no, it doesn't matter.
This is about, I've realized after 20 years, nobody wins this battle. There is no victor, there's no laurel wreath handed out for you to be the best at this. So, yeah, let's try that wine. let's drink a couple of glasses of that. I even have a thing called Coravin. Coravin was a Christmas gift. Coravin is a wine extraction system.
Right.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's basically a hypodermic needle on the end of what looks like a corkscrew thing.
Okay.
You take the wine that you want to try, that your wine that's been sitting in your house for 10 years because you got it as a present on your wedding, and it's never been enough times where it's like, shall we open one of the wedding wines or the other wine? You know, because you just collect these things, people give you gifts or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting there, that's too good to drink just to drink. Yeah. So you end up with like, a number of these bottles that you're going to go, when is it going to be a time good enough to mark an occasion? This thing, you just push it in through the cork, right? And it's got an argon gas container at the end of it, like whatever. And you press it a few times and the argon goes into the bottle. It pushes wine out. Argon is a non-reactive gas, so the wine doesn't age as if you'd open the wine. You take a glass out of it or two, and then you pull the thing out. And when you pull the syringe out, the cork closes under its own pressure and reseals the bottle.
What did I just hear?
That's a really good way of drinking wine and no one noticing.
It's exceptionally good for that.
Yeah.
It is very, very good without having to top it up with like Lucozade or something or whatever.
Take that to a hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd go through the mini bar.
Surely notice if your hand was resting gently on the whatever, their Margot that they'd left out of the demonstration. And you're just slowly pushing an invisible thing too. They all know about things.
Does it also work with Coca-Cola?
It does work with Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is the most precious and rare of all things. It has to be drunk there and then.
I want one. Ed, write that down.
Well, you want me to write down that you want one of those?
Yes.
All right.
That brings us to the dessert.
Oh, yeah.
My favourite course. Ed's a starter boy. I'm a dessert lad.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm more of a starter boy and again, I was kind of going around to this for a while. I'm going to go for the one, it's very traditional, very traditional, but there's a 50-50 chance it'll be wrong.
Okay.
50-50 seems that, and it's often not indicated, or it's incorrectly indicated, and I love one version of it, and I loathe the other version of it.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah,
trying to guess what this is before it's even been said, but it's quite hard to.
There are the reason it's 50-50 wrong is there are two ways of making it.
Yes,
there's a hot way and a cold way.
Oh, and you don't like the cold way because you don't like cold things.
Incorrect, actually. In this,
I
like the cold way. Both of them are. It's always served. Oh. It's always served a cold.
Yeah,
but there's a cold prepared one and there's a baked version of it.
Oh, Benito's got
Benito's got it.
What is it, Benito? Say it.
It is totally cheesecake.
It's cheesecake.
Well done, Benito. It's absolutely cheesecake.
There's hot cheesecake.
Baked cheesecake. There's two ways of making it.
Baked.
Well, they don't serve it to you hot. No, because that'd be insane.
I was thinking.
But like the New York style.
Yes.
Is you make the mix, and then you cool it in the fridge afterwards. And what that does is it does a different thing with the sugars, I suppose, but also traps air, and it's kind of puffier, fluffier, and it's acrid and rank and the worst thing in the world, right? It's just too, it's again, we're back to the carrot. It's too much sweetness, and it's all fluffy and it's really bull. Whereas the, you know, more, let's call it gelatinous one, the more kind of like Philadelphia mixed in with the kind of acrid, nice lemony tang
and sour,
and then it's kind of a And it gets closer to, say, like the creme brulee type thing, like yeah. to a gel kind of thing rather than what's the word I'm looking for? Gel I'm looking for? I don't like cakes.
Yeah,
I don't like cakes. It's totally wrong. But I don't like cakes per se. Like I don't like cakes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do a cake, but I don't like that big puffy like Victoria sponge type thing. I'll go out of my way for it. But that with the raspberry coolie, in this situation, all bets are off. See,
we
live in upside downsy world, right? Gold coolie, not necessarily ice cream or cream, because I think that
you've got that covered in the cake, right?
Yeah, have you?
Sure.
Biscuity base obviously is vital to it.
Buttery biscuit base,
yeah, buttery biscuit base. He is tired of that. We did one thing with them and go 8-bit, and he seemed not to find it as endlessly charming as everyone else did. That the cold Christmas of the lemon and that, like the
and so it's a citrusy flavour.
Citrusy flavour, yeah, exactly. I mean, the finest ones that my sister used
to make. Well, if you want to up the citrus, don't forget you're holding a bit of wet lime.
Oh my God, it's been in my hand all along. Oh. If I just put this over here.
It's like a Shyamalan twist. It was there all along. And it was, why is he holding it? No one knows why he's holding it.
The whole time.
It's so good, put it in the cheesecake and squeeze it all over.
Oh my God, and the whole just gives it to, except it was lime in this. And I'm going to do this, but that's key lime pie, which is a different
thing. Oh yeah, never cross the citrus stream.
Never, ever. Please bring those two things together.
You can't possibly combine lemon and lime.
No, that's unheard of. Yeah. Like eating two opal fruits at the same time and watching your head explode.
Your name's not Fido Dido, is it?
That's a bang on reference for this generation. But a nice, really nice one of those. And I've been in places that I actually have advertised it as, it's on the menu as New York style cheesecake. Yeah. Mm. And I know to order because I know they're wrong.
Oh.
Yeah, there's one in Dublin, which is a lovely pizza restaurant in Dublin called Gotham City. And at the end of it, and the guy goes, cheesecake, and we're kind of, Dara, you know you're going to have the cheesecake. Shall we just stop dancing this dance? That we do. Much like the 1890s prostitutes are always saying to me, shall I just give you the cheesecake? But that's totally not. It's the cold baked one. But it's very difficult. And waiters, you go, this is it baked or cold? And they go, well, it's cold because it's arriving cold. And you go, no.
You don't know what you're doing.
Don't know what you're on about, man. It's just like, wasting my time here. Up, lift the table, lift the bread table up, throw it all over the place, like whatever. Yeah, it's gone. So entire recipe, for example, I think in America, that thing was House of Cheesecake or whatever it's called, that chain.
The Cheesecake Factory?
Cheesecake Factory, that's it. Yeah. That factory should be ripped down, should be flattened, it should be turned into a park the children are playing, because it's all baked.
Yeah, I've even talked about Cheesecake Factory before on this podcast. Cheesecake's quite a popular dessert, I think. This might be the third time.
Oh, really?
At least the second. Joel had cheesecake, definitely.
But I think that wasn't going to save him.
I ignore the controversial Joel.
It's for the best. But I need your order back to you, Dara.
Yes, do, please.
Check. You would like some still water. You would like some
A Coke Zero, really, to be honest.
It
wasn't the question.
You would like some white bread, crispy loaf, with some butter, already soft, and some oil and vinegar, and some tapenade.
Yeah, go, let's go crazy.
As well. Your starter, you'd like chowder in a bread bowl, like the one you had in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And your main, you would like a lamb shank. You didn't actually specify where you wanted the lamb shank from, but...
There's a restaurant in... I'm going to go for the Indian lamb shank. Because that's a particularly good way of doing it. And I've had it in a few different places. Gaylord, I think it's called, the restaurant. It just says.
It's quite near here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's in London, yeah.
I'll just pop over.
Yeah.
Side with like some chip shop chips. You haven't specified a chippy, but you said a few earlier.
Let's go for. You pick any Italian name and there'll be a chip shop name after it.
Mario's.
There's a Mario's. Moscone's.
Joe Pesci.
There's one called. I'm trying to find. Oh, do you know what?
Warrior.
No, from Picante in Broughton Street in Edinburgh.
Cafe Picante, that has a DJ in it.
The one with the DJ.
You would like that wine as your drink.
Oh, that wine.
And dessert, you would like a citrusy cheesecake with some raspberry coolie.
Yeah.
Cold, not prepared.
Not baked.
Not baked. And I would throw the entire meal back at you if it's baked.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
I'd like to eliminate all baked cheesecakes so I never make a mistake again.
You have to put them into Ring 101.
Yeah, is that not part of this format as well?
Why not? Yeah,
that's in the restaurant.
Yeah,
there's a Ring 101 in the restaurant as well. We incorporate that. We incorporate all the panel shows. I'm in this restaurant somewhere.
Okay, $5,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Because Brexit is like a cake.
So it's in there somewhere.
Just
corridor full of panel shows.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming, Dara.
It's been an absolute delight. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be in your restaurant. I think it's like its business model is a total disaster. And your inventory elements alone, your stock. How are you keeping it going in this kind of way? The costume, the gas, you know, the whole thing. How are you keeping 1890s French prostitutes constantly employed?
Again, Dara, that's all on you. They'll disappear as soon as you leave.
Fragrantly through the back of the room with fellow members of the Napoleon's army. But yeah, it's been a delight.
Thank you.
What a lovely meal.
Delicious meal. I'd not thought about lamb shanks in a while, and now I really want a lamb shank.
The lamb shank and the chowder, they were really, they caught me off guard.
Very filling homely meal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The chowder's
Be up for them any time.
Oh, you got to suck the bone. I'm just going to say that.
Suck the bone. Hashtag suck the bone.
Hashtag suck the bone.
Yeah.
Might already be a hashtag in a different industry.
No cottage cheese, so that's good.
Thank the Lord.
A little bit of extra info for the listener, though. Off the air, I punched him anyway.
Yeah.
Just did it anyway. I was looking forward to punching him so much, even though I like him.
Yeah.
Wonderful guy, giving me many opportunities in the industry. But
really great guy, but we've all got to get punched now and again.
I got myself amped up to punch him, so I had to do it.
You had to stand on a chair to do it as well, didn't you?
I had to stand on a chair, and he didn't know what I was doing. He's like, what are you setting up that chair? I thought, you stay still.
Yeah.
And I bopped him.
You bopped him one right on his kisser.
Right on the kisser. Well, thank you so much, Dara, for coming on, and thank you so much for being a good sport about being punched in the face afterwards.
If you like the sound of Dara and you'd like to explore more of his work, just turn on the television.
Yes.
Just put it on. He'll be on it.
Just put it on. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
See him on anything. If you like a gamble and you want to see more of his work, go and see him on tour.
Go and see me on tour. I can't promise that I'll be on the television when you turn it on straight away. I'm on it now and again. But pop onto my website, edgamble.co.uk. Come and see me live. Come and see me do some of my humour.
Yes, please.
Jiminy Jobbers, where are you on?
Well, I'm not sure, but hey, just remind people, I've got some Netflix specials. Watch them.
Yeah, go and watch them. They're blooming good, I'd say.
Ed's in them.
I am. You can hear me chuckling away.
He's in the audience laughing. So there's a little bit of an Easter egg.
Uncredited. So thank you for listening to the Off Menu Podcast. Please go and review us on the iTunes app or wherever you listen to your podcast. 5 stars. Thank you. It's very much the Uber system. 5 stars or nothing. Yes. And I mean no review. I don't mean no stars. 5 stars. Thank you.
5 stars. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Subscribe. Thank you. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brands.